And now to San Francisco, where the pepper spray case adjourned for the week in the federal court down there. There are several witnesses again on this Thursday, among them Terry Compost, one of the plaintiffs, who said that she thought that what she had a chance to say went well. She also answered KMUD's question about how she took the cross-examination from Nancy Delaney, attorney for the defense, which is Humboldt County Sheriff's Department and the Eureka Police Department.
She had some rather strange questions. I mean, she asked things like, do we do background checks on people at base camp, the people that were involved in the Headwaters movement? I think she's trying to point out that we don't know, that we can't guarantee the peacefulness of people. She asked about some of the names that we used. I think she wanted to present the names to the jury. I mean, it was. I didn't feel like what she brought up was actually a very, you know, relevant to the case, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
It was short, her cross-examination of me.
What was your feeling about the proceedings in general? Anything stand out for you today?
Well, today was interesting because we allowed the defense to bring in one of their expert witnesses out of order during our part due to a scheduling issue, and they brought in Dave Dubay as an expert witness who is a researcher at Defense Technologies, this company that makes the pepper spray and makes, in fact, lots of weapons and various devices to cause pain and harm to people that they sell to police departments. And for me, it was pretty creepy. I mean, he was, minimalizing the dangers of pepper spray, of course, because he represents that industry, and said what happened to us was extremely minimal. And it really made me be concerned that if this case and the situation isn't turned around, of what will police do if they're allowed to use pepper spray in any way that they want, and if they consider that extremely minimal. So it got my goat this morning, hearing him testifying, and also just being aware of the whole industry, that he was representing, and these people make money off of controlling protests or winning wars, I suppose, fighting wars anyway. It was powerful and disturbing in a way this morning. But perhaps the jury felt the same way and saw what I saw as well. So we'll see.
What's your take on how this trial is moving forward? Do you feel like your attorneys are making your case? And conversely, do you feel like the attorneys for the county are making theirs?
I do think both cases are being made. One thing that's frustrating for us is that we're not able to get expert testimony in about the dangers of pepper spray. And just now the judge denied our an expert witness to come in and explain about the dangers and uses of pepper spray. And that's frustrating, as the jury hasn't really been able to hear about that section of it. And the other thing that we aren't able to get into this case is that we had very strong rulings in our favor by the Ninth Circuit, saying that a reasonable officer in this situation should have known that this was unreasonable force, and the judges denied us even mention of that so far in this trial. So I feel like those are two big prejudices against us, but that the lawyers are doing a great job, and I think the jury likes us, and we'll see what happens.
And that was Terry Compost. She's one of the plaintiffs in the pepper spray case. She spoke with KMUD News just moments after she left the courtroom at the end of proceedings this Thursday. That's actually the end of proceedings now for the week. The trial will resume this coming Monday. Also just out of the courtroom on this Thursday afternoon was attorney Tony Serra. He spent a few moments also speaking with KMUD News. One of the interesting aspects of this case is that it's gone through several different teams of attorneys and also different judges. And that indeed is what has played into the fact that they now cannot bring forward their experts to talk about the effects of pepper spray on protesters when it's used this way.
It's because Judge Von Walker, who was dead against this case, wouldn't allow it in the first trial. And this judge here, who is a good and fair judge, she's adopted his rulings.
At this point, the plaintiff's turn at making their case is winding down. They have one more big witness to go, and that is former Sheriff Dennis Lewis. He'll probably be on the stand on Monday. Current Sheriff Gary Phelps, who was also involved in the pepper spray incident, was on the stand this Thursday. The plaintiff's case started off with presentation of tapes that were made of the incidents and that have become notorious throughout the nation. Then they also spoke with some of the deputies and police officers who were involved during those instances. They also, as we've been telling you, spoke with all of the plaintiffs in the case, and then again spoke with Sheriff Gary Phelps this Thursday. KMUD News asked Tony Serra what he thought of how law enforcement responded to his questions.
It is variable. This is why I say it. Some of law enforcement witnesses have obviously perjured themselves, so much so that you show them a photo where an eyeball is, shown clearly to being Q-tipped, with the pepper spray, and they look at it and say the eye is closed when the jury and everyone else, sees obviously from the picture and the video the eye is open. So they're like flagrant, what I will call falsity, and some of the officers what we'll call flagrant cover-up and flagrant bias. Some of the other officers, there's two officers that in my mind appeared honest and credible. They didn't hurt us much, but they hurt us. So let's just, you want to assess things from, say, a cumulative point of view. We're ahead in terms of the officers. And, however, if it was just officers, and it's not, query whether we would get a unanimous verdict. Because there's going to be room to believe that they were, in good faith in assessing the situation and that they believed that there was no reasonable alternative, which is absurd, but yet they've got that view out there. But here is the overwhelming factor, I think, that swings it for us. We've now had all of the plaintiffs testify. Now, I'm kind of a hard, cynical old lawyer. I've been doing this over 40 years in the criminal court. I've never emoted that, like you hold everything back. It brought tears to my eyes. It brought tears to the audience's eyes. After a few of them finished, it was like a church. It was, the proverbial, you could hear the pin drop. It was applicable. It was so intense. It was so overpowering, their testimony. They're such good people. They're such sincere people. They're such devoted people. Understand that they were willing. They didn't know whether they'd be blinded or not. They were willing to be blinded for their idealism, and that's so potent. And it has almost what it's like a wave, a psychic wave that just breaks, over the jury in the courtroom, and I think that propels us to a position where we can be optimistic. Now, the defense hasn't put on their case. The defense hurt us significantly when, in essence, they bring a representative from, the company that made the pepper spray, and, boiling it down metaphorically, he's saying, oh, it's like food, you can put it on your steak. It has no injurious, qualities, which is, given the studies that we're not allowed to put into an expert by prior ruling of a different judge, given the studies, all we can do is hit them on cross-examination, bring up all of the bad effects, the permanent injuries, the psychological kind of consequences, and you know, a few of the honest ones will agree. Yeah, there is a panic, reaction. Yes, you know, your lungs and your thoracic cavity constricts. Yes, there's immediate blindness. Yes, there's involuntary mucus, secretion, blah, blah, blah. Some of them will admit to the short-term and the long-term, but the majority deny it, and because we lack an expert, that level is nip and tuck, whether there's, you know, what the injury is, how long it lasts, whether or not they're psychological, whether or not they're, it enters into your dream life, whether you have nightmares, whether you have flashbacks, whether it's impeded your social relationships, your activistic kind of instincts. We don't have the benefit of the psychiatrist. We're not allowed that. It offends me. In the criminal context, you'd always be allowed an expert in this field.